if you will just close your eyes, say, Father, I ask that you open my eyes.
I ask that you open my eyes.
Not the natural ones.
Not the natural ones.
But the spiritual ones.
The spiritual ones.
So that I can see.
So that I can see.
Open my ears to hear.
Open my ears to hear.
What your spirit is speaking to me.
What your spirit is speaking to me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Let your fire come.
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 In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
When that song came on, Let Your Fire, I don't know how many of you were touched. How many had a sense of a change when that song was going on? Okay, two. This is what happened during the week. The Holy Spirit, I could go back and give you the day, but I don't think it's important. What's important is his ability to show us something. So before we go to his word, what God was doing is he showed me a vision, and he brought me back to Israel. And the confrontation when Elijah is facing the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Well, all this was actually happening. This was early in the morning. I can't tell you what time. And all of a sudden, I'm back there. And I can remember the impact of what God was doing in me. You know, when God impacts your life, he has a reason and he has a purpose. And bringing something to light, even if it happens 10, 15, 20 years ago, it doesn't matter how long, it still becomes real for that moment. You're back in let's say an impacted moment where your whole being is being shaken in order for the purposes of God to manifest in you. We had only been in Israel a couple days when we went up there. And I literally saw Elijah angry, confronting the Baal worshippers. Now, how many know that Allah and Baal are one and the same? So those who worship Allah think they're worshiping the Most High God. And he was reminding me that Elijah was not a happy camper with what was going on in the nation. Do you think there's been a change?
No.
Okay. So the prophets of Baal were in, let's say, their strategy to destroy. But here comes Elijah with a commission from God to re-put together an altar for all the 12 tribes. So there's 12 stones, which, by the way, I have a piece of that stone that the Lord had me break while I was up there. And I saw this all in a snap vision. But then the most important part was that two bulls were brought. One was given to the prophets of Baal, and one was kept for Israel. Why two bulls? What do bulls represent to you and me? Stubbornness, yes. And they want their way. Okay? And so it relates to the flesh. And the Lord said to me, why do you have so much trouble with your flesh? Because all of us have trouble with our flesh. Our flesh wants to go with the status of the world. Our spirit wants to go to the status of our calling and our giftings according to the God that loves us and our Heavenly Father who is Spirit. So you have the Spirit coming into the realm, and He is sent by God in the form of what? Fire. Now, if you recall, when He came in fire, when Moses was told, I'm coming down, He also came on a mountain. And the top of the mountain was burned. It was so scary that the Israelites couldn't handle it and said, we can't handle this God. He's so fearful. And they couldn't communicate. They didn't want to communicate with Him. Now Elijah's confronting the prophets of Baal. Jezebel has had her way, and they are rampant throughout the country. Elijah thinks he's the only one that's left. Now, in case you're wondering where I got all this, it came in flash forms, and it's in 1 Kings chapter 18. So, you know, I'm going to go there in a minute, but what I'm trying to tell you is God was showing me something that I had not seen before. He was trying to let me know that Elijah had a problem with his flesh. His flesh wanted to come back to life, and we see that when fear comes in. And Elijah gives kind of God a hard time, even though he's had this incredible moment. And the fire of God came and consumed the bull. Now, if you look at the behavior of the prophets of Baal, just a few months ago, I believe it was on the 700 Club, there was a gentleman who was a Muslim, and he showed some film clips of his worship during the time that they celebrate Ramadan, I believe, and they literally whip themselves with chains, and they've got blood everywhere. And he says, I lived that. The only thing he didn't do is cut his head open as a child, because they did this every single time. So cutters are doing the same thing today. It's just the same spirit. It's just a different day. People whipping themselves to making themselves because they're ashamed. And they end up having blood everywhere. And you see some that do this thinking it's godly. Did the prophets of Baal think they were serving the Most High? Complete deception in a religious form. Complete deception in a religious form. They really believed what they were doing was of
God.
Right. Did they have a bull to offer? Yeah. Elijah provided them with a... Did God tell him what to do? So he was instructed by God to give them an offering. To offer back to their God. Yes? Did it look the same? Did it spell the same message? How many whippings did Elijah give himself? Why? I mean, he had a bull all cut up too. Yes? Was he aware that his flesh was being represented in that bull? I think he did too. Did the prophets of Baal believe that their flesh was involved? When he called down, something happened for him. But what about when the prophets of Baal were screaming and yelling for hours and hours and hours? Was there a reaction from God?
Yeah, silence.
Thank you. Rejection. Right. I'm hesitating because I want to obey. Go to 1 Kings, chapter 18, starting verse 16. First Kings, chapter 18, verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" Troublemaker, troubler of Israel. "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals." So now the government is doing what? Following Baal. Because these are the kings. "Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. And bring 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word. Now that's 800 and what?
50.
Thank you. So Ahab sent word throughout Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions?" Is the religious opinion equal to God's opinion? No. "If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." And the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal's has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us." Notice again who's giving him instructions. Two bulls. "Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Try that one on for size. Say, "The God who answers,
the God who answers
by fire,
he is God."
He is God. Then all the people said, "What you say is good." So he's got approval of the population. Elijah said to the prophet of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bulls given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom. So this is nothing new. This has been doing for years. "Until their blood flowed." What has changed?
Nothing.
"Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice." What were they doing? They were prophesying. So what is this? It's a setup. You're going to see the religious realm begin to prophesy. Why? Because we're living in the end days. And the prophets are saying what? Baal is our God. Yes or no? And they worship him in spirit of Baal, which is flesh. But their there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." And they came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. Repaired meaning putting things back in order, correct? Which was in ruins. Do you see that in our nation? Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel," which means prince with God, yes? With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 sieves of seeds. He arranged the wood, cut the bulls into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering of the wood, on the wood. Do it again," he said, "and do it again. Do it a third time," he ordered. And they did it a third time. And the water ran down around the altar, even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things in your command." Notice again, all these things in whose command? It wasn't a bright idea he had. He did it in obedience. "Answer me, Lord. Answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Notice again the addition that the hearts of the people would be what?
Turn back
to the God of heaven, not the Baal worship, not the worship of flesh. Amen? Mm-hmm. Then fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil. I love the idea. Also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God." They were actually made conscious of what they had been doing. Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kinhon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look forward towards the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. 7 times, tell your neighbor, 7 times.
7 times.
Not 3 or 2, but 7 times. The servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is raising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose. A heavy rain came and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah and tucked his cloak into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. The message is this. When you obey the Lord, you're going to do silly things. Like send your servant 7 times to go look for a cloud. And for 6 times, there's no cloud. How many of you have prayed 5, 6 times and all of a sudden you say, "I'm tired"? This man of God was obedient. There are times that I have prayed and the Lord would say, "You're not done yet. You're not quite to the finish line." And you quit early and you don't get an answer to prayer because somehow you've been waiting too long. Or supposedly God has said no. Did God say no to the Baal?
Yes, he did. He said no to the Baals. They didn't get their prayer. Did their flesh get consumed on their altar?
No.
What is that saying?
They weren't praying to the right God.
Yeah. So he looked at what they did, and he kind of sat back and said, bunch of yo-yos, look what you're doing. You're wasting your time. You're not really serving me. You may be calling on the name of your God, but he's not me. And this is what the Holy Spirit was reminding me because of the vision that was given on the fire and the new mantle on the altar. And I said to the Lord, that fire that you brought onto the place of where we offer the flesh and the blood of the Lamb, it's not the same as what maybe our traditions have been or people's traditions, but it's been done in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And this is not a judgment call. It's to show you that the deceiver has something so close to the real that it's accepted by the majority. It is accepted by the majority. And they think they're safe. Are they praying?
Probably.
Yeah. Are they whipping themselves?
Yeah.
I've seen that. Okay? And not just in the Muslim families. I've seen it in others. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to show you the deception is so good looking that it dragged all the people in. Did it succeed in turning with that one miracle the whole state of Israel? No. They went back. It wasn't a big enough miracle for them. Because if you remember, it took several years before Jezebel was dealt with, before Ahab was dealt with and his family was removed by Jehu. So what am I saying? I'm saying that sometimes we want to see instant answers in our hearts. We want to see instant transformation in those that we say or they say that they're serving the Most High. But the fruits are what?
The opposite.
Yeah, the opposite. So I believe what the Holy Spirit was showing me this morning again is to make sure that you have an awareness. Is there any deception in my heart, Lord? Have I believed something that needs to be adjusted? Have I gone off track, maybe 10% or 5%? And the answer is, I don't know the answer to that. I have to trust this same Most High that Elijah trusted. Did he panic in fear when Jezebel sent a message? Yes. Did he get into depression? Yes. Are you going to taste these things? Yes. Will it be fun? No. It won't be fun. It's going to be a challenge. Will you trust until you get to the finish line? Yes. And that's the decisions that we make that don't match our flesh. Remember, when Jesus was consumed by the fire of God on that cross, what happened to him? It was really a picture of the bullish nature of man. The selfish nature of man that was really represented on that altar by Elijah. No different than when Jesus says, you can have my flesh and let it be hung on that cross to pay for everything. Did Israel change? It did over a period of years. It took time. Are we seeing things happening in the realm of the Spirit in our nation? Yes. Do we see God advancing? I believe we are, but it's silent. It's underneath. It's hidden. Are you seeing yourself change? Yes. But it's spotty. Or at least for me, it's spotty.
Amen.
Okay? I see the old trying to come back to life. But by golly, I'm holding on to the promise. So would you just close your eyes, put your hand over your heart, say, Father, today,
Father, today,
my flesh has already been redeemed. God looks at me, in total harmony. And he's already sent his fire to burn out all this flesh. I give you praise because Jesus paid the price. He shed his blood to wash away my sin. He gave up his body in place of mine so that I could be perfected. And I'm grateful for the fire. Don't stop, Holy Spirit. Because it was you that was that fire. And you said through Christ that there's a baptism of water and a baptism of fire. And sometimes when the fire hits, I'm not that happy. Keep me focused on your perfecting me.
On a
regular basis.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. Amen?
Amen.
All right.